Today on Locked On Rockies, still can't get out of the basement.
You are Locked On Rockies, your daily Colorado Rockies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rock on Rockies fans, welcome into the Locked On Rockies podcast for today, the 15th day of August in the year 2022. I am the host of the Locked On Rockies podcast, Paul Holden, bringing you your daily Colorado Rockies talk right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are free and streaming on your favorite streaming service. We're also streaming live on YouTube, so if you subscribe on YouTube, you can get yourself into the show by asking your questions live, and we'll answer them right here, right now, on the Locked On Rockies podcast. Today on Locked On Rockies, we are going to talk about the series with the Diamondbacks, how successful Diamondbacks starting pitching has been against the Rockies this year. Also going to give my thoughts on a little bit of stuff I saw from the Rockies Twittersverse this weekend. But before we do that, you're probably like, who's this guy if you haven't listened to the show? Why am I listening to this guy about the Colorado Rockies? Well, I'm your Rockies fan extraordinaire, Paul Holden. I've been covering this team for about 2 years, following it my entire life here. Done over a few hundred podcasts here for the Locked On Rockies podcast. And we get right back rolling here on this Monday with yet another lost series here for the Rockies as they fall to the Diamondbacks. And, you know, this series, it could have been a lot worse, especially with the way the Rockies were held scoreless for, I believe it was 17 innings up until the Rockies scored yesterday late in the ballgame. They had not scored since the seventh inning on Friday night. And you just can't do that, folks. The Diamondbacks are a team you have to be able to go back and forth with. The Diamondbacks are not a team that can come in and blank you 6-0 at home. The Diamondbacks are terrible on the road. Arguably one of the only teams that are worse than on the road than the Rockies are. But yet, kind of the situation we've seen the past couple of years. The Rockies, on paper, should be better than the Diamondbacks. The Rockies should be a team that shouldn't struggle so much against the Diamondbacks. But I was curious, especially off of Saturday's game. And if you're curious which game that was the 6-0 loss that the Colorado Rockies suffered at the hands of the Diamondbacks. And Zach Gallen in that one, 2 hits, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. I mean, the Rockies were held to 3 total hits in that game. And that seemed familiar. It seemed like, man, the Diamondbacks starting rotation has really dominated the Rockies this year. And folks, when you look at the numbers, that is absolutely the case. There's only one pitcher that has started multiple times against the Rockies this year that has an ERA over 5. The others have an ERA of sub-2. Zach Gallen against the Rockies this year, 2.52 ERA, 2-0 in 4 starts against them. In 25 innings, he's given up 17 hits, 7 runs, and 2 home runs, 6 walks to 24 strikeouts, a batting average of 194 or 193. One of the lowest batting averages he has against a team this year. Just more, he says more innings against some of these teams, against the Rockies than any other team he's faced this year, and he still has one of the lower batting averages against him. He's dominated the Rockies this year. Tommy Henry here for the Diamondbacks only has the 1 start against the Rockies, so only the 5 innings. So he's the only one there that doesn't have a ton of experience against the Rockies here. But let's go to Zach Davies here. Zach Davies, 3 starts against the Rockies, a 1.65 ERA in 16 innings pitched, 10 hits, 3 runs given up, 1 home run, 6 walks, and 11 strikeouts. I mean, these are the Diamondbacks, folks. This is the starting pitching rotation of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And when you look at some of these ERAs of other teams, let's go back to Zach Gallen here. Zach Gallen, couple of starts against San Diego here for Gallen. San Diego has inflated his ERA to 5.73. 11 hits, 8 runs, 1 home run, 5 walks, and 12 strikeouts. 5 walks, 13 strikeouts, 2 home runs 7 earned runs for Gallen against the San Diego Padres. San Francisco, a little bit more there as well, but nothing too much. But He's not as dominant. I mean, when you look at it, when you look at some of the numbers against Colorado, I mean, 24 strikeouts, 24. I mean, that is absolutely insane when it comes to how many strikeouts the Diamondback starters are able to get against the Rockies. Let's keep looking at this as well. When we look at Zach Davies, he's only struck out one team more, and that was the Cincinnati Reds in that series. Against Colorado, 11 strikeouts here, and that even goes on to that line. 16 innings, 10 hits, 3 runs, 1 home run, 6 walks to 11 strikeouts. The Rockies simply can't, are not seeing the ball well when they are playing Arizona. They are striking out a ton. When you look again, the Colorado's got 11 strikeouts here. Davies has gotten the Dodgers to strike out 10 times, but in 2 starts against San Diego, there's only 5 strikeouts there. I mean, and so in the grand scheme of things, for those 3 pitchers, we're seeing the Rockies strike out a ton. Let's keep going through the Diamondbacks starting rotation here. Merrill Kelly against the Rockies this year, 2-0 in 3 starts with a 1.59 ERA, 22 innings. He's given up 19 hits, 5 runs, 4 of them earned, 2 home runs, 4 walks, and 16 strikeouts. There's only one team, Merrill Kelly has one more strikeout against San Francisco there for the Rockies in the same amount of starts there. He's only gotten San Francisco to strike out more, but 16 strikeouts still is massive against the Rockies, especially when you're playing somewhere like Coors Field. Now, the only pitcher that has struggled against the Rockies really this year in terms of the starting rotation for the Diamondbacks is Madison Bumgarner. In two starts here, 12 innings for Bumgarner against the Rockies, 4.26 ERA, 16 hits, 7 runs, 6 of them earned, 2 home runs, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. A .296 batting average for the Rockies there. It's crazy when you say the Rockies have the best chance against Madison Bumgarner in that rotation. But clearly, when you look at the numbers, when you look at things, when you highlight what's a big issue for the Rockies when they take on Arizona, it's the strikeouts. This team is striking out a ton against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Someone that someone they're striking out more than their opponent. I mean, let's go back to Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen against the Colorado Rockies has 24 strikeouts, 24 of them. That's more than double his next opponent. I mean, there are 2 teams that Gallen has struck out twice. And man, ESPN loves to just autoplay ads with loud volume. But San Francisco, 13 strikeouts. San Francisco, 10 strikeouts. San Diego, 13 strikeouts. Dodgers, only 5 strikeouts. And then you go to the Rockies, 24 strikeouts. Now, there's more innings pitched when you look at it compared to the rest of the division. He's only got the one game against the Dodgers there with the 5 strikeouts. Only has the 11 innings pitched with San Diego and San Francisco versus the 25. So two more starts against the Rockies. That's obviously a reason why there's 11 more strikeouts for Gallen there. But at that clip, at that rate, when you see those numbers, when you see the rate at how many strikeouts that he is getting every time against the Rockies, you're going to see the Rockies continue to be at the top of the list of batters struck out of teams struck out by Arizona pitching. That's why they were so successful. Blanking, I mean, how do you eliminate the Rockies in the Coors Field effect? You go out and you blank them at home. Frustrating. That one's a frustrating series, but we had to look into the numbers because those starters have just been so good against the Rockies. And we've seen that the Rockies can get after the bullpen of the Diamondbacks there. But anyway, let's keep diving in. Let's take a look at some of the offensive numbers, and let's take a look at what the Rockies kind of did well, and look at least a little bit back on the good stuff here before we look ahead to the Cardinals series. But before we do that, got to tell you about our friends at LinkedIn. As you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. So, what was the good stuff from this weekend? Well, the Rockies played some good ball on Friday and were able to bounce back and take a nice win in that one, 5-3. Coming back after going down early 3 in the big story here. Didn't do much. I mean, obviously, you wish he would have done more, but Whit and Bernard, I mean, we do have to again talk about that. And it was really, really cool. What I liked about not only Bernard getting the chance, Bernard getting the call up, I think that's, it's cool, it's wonderful, absolutely. It was so nice, it was so refreshing to hear the crowd erupt for Rockies players. It's something, especially this year, that we have not heard a ton of. Let's be really, really clear. The Rockies at home, against, especially against certain teams, are outmatched when it comes to the crowds. When you watch the Rockies this year, and when you've watched the Rockies, honestly, a long time, but a lot of the time, these past couple of years, since fans have been back allowed in the stands, Rockies fans have been greatly outnumbered at Coors Field. They continue to be greatly outnumbered at Coors Field. I'm talking about the loud ones. I'm talking about the ones that are cheering. I'm talking about the ones that aren't just going to clap for everything and just kind of cheer for everybody. It was so refreshing to hear Coors Field erupt for Rockies players, to be cheering for Rockies players, to not hear "let's go other team, let's go away team" chant break out there. And Bernard, unfortunately, wasn't able to do too much, but he gets his first hit, gets an RBI late after, unfortunately, grounding into the double play there in the big situation late in the game there. But we do enjoy those storylines. We do take a look at those. We do dive in. You have to latch on to those a little bit. You have to enjoy that. And again, it was just so nice to see the Rockies and the fans actually rooting and actually cheering for the Colorado Rockies, for going out there and rooting for the hometown team, whereas we've seen so many times this year that that has not been the case. Let's also talk about some of the positives here. I mean, I was worried about this, but let me fix my microphone here. I was worried that that was going to happen. Now I'm going to sound better, because most of this podcast I've sounded like I was underwater. On the YouTube side, that is. We're always figuring stuff out live on the YouTube channel. But anyway, we get that story, and it does feel good. As much time as Bernard gets is great. Whitton Bernard is not going to be the 31-year-old prospect that's going to change everything for the Rockies. He's not going to go out there and completely change the landscape of this team. But it was something to cheer for this weekend, and it was something that got you more energized and more revitalized in the Rockies' season. We also saw some players do some great stuff. Brendan Rodgers and Ryan McMahon continue to swing the bat really, really well. Ryan McMahon gets, I believe, his third, four-hit game of the year this weekend, contributing a great ton for the Rockies. I think it was a three-hit game, not a four-hit game. For Ryan McMahon, 3 hits in that one, an RBI. Adolis Montero continues to play every day. And, you know, Ryan Feltner doesn't seem to have the most control, doesn't seem to have it as of right now. But you know what? Right now, I'd want the Rockies to just continue to see what they have from arms in their organization, in their system. What can they do to help your team? Might as well keep seeing what Ryan Feltner can do with consistent starts and consistent things there. Brendan Rodgers is continuing to play at an elite level. He's continuing to be the brightest spot on this team for the Rockies. Really, really good stuff from Rodgers there. The Rockies are getting ready to play not Arizona again. They are getting ready to head to St. Louis there for what's a massive series for the Cardinals there, who I just finished up a really big set with the Brewers there, and the Cardinals taking 2 of 3 against the Brewers to get themselves that first place spot there by a game and a half. Every win is important for the Cardinals here, and St. Louis is looking at this Rockies team and this Arizona team. Cardinals are looking at this stretch to really dominate here. The Cardinals got Rockies, Diamondbacks, Cubs here as they get ready for a stretch. Now, it is on the road. They do have to go to Arizona and Chicago before getting back home with the little small set of the Braves and the Reds. Cardinals got a really favorable schedule there, and if the Rockies want to get in the way of their route to the playoffs and prevent them from that division title, they got to come up big here in this series, because the Cardinals are going to be playing on all cylinders here. We know how dangerous that lineup can be. We know how much runs they can score, and now the Rockies aren't going to be at home, so we're going to see how that's going to go for them here in this one. Let's talk about something I saw on Twitter, I saw some stuff on Twitter this weekend about the Rockies, and just give my two cents on it here. But before we do that, got to tell you about our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. That's BetOnline.net. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information. That's BetOnline.net. From live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts, they have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline. That's BetOnline.net, where the game starts. This weekend on Twitter, there was a little bit of a dust-up there about nuanced conversations with the Rockies, about analytics departments, about things of that nature. And now, when you write and when you cover the team, you're gonna you got to find things to try to boost up this team, to see what they're doing, to try to embrace that. And some people, especially when it comes to the Rockies, just get frustrated by some of the narratives and some of the stuff that is out there about the Rockies. And this stems from the Rockies, another internal hire for the Rockies. And again, there's stuff out there that talks about the qualifications of this move and things of that nature, but it's another move that has Rockies fans, or at least a group of Rockies fans, a chunk of Rockies fans, I can't say all Rockies fans, because that's not the case, upset, because this is, it's we're tired of the same narrative of everything. Hire from within, they got the qualifications. Yes, all of that is fine and dandy, and all that is good, but when I see that stuff, when I dive into more of it, When I hear that these people from within the organization want to bring some change, that's all great. I mean, you know what? It's just because they're hired from within doesn't mean they can't bring something new. They can't bring a new idea. They can't go out and do something different. But it's another hire from within. It's just again. It's staying on the hamster wheel that is the Rockies. It's just the Rockies front office. It's the what? Why is it always from within? Why is it always this? That's the type of the questions. It's not non-nuanced. It's not that these people can't be qualified, but for the Rockies and their major front office moves that they have made of late, it's all been from within. Why are the Rockies the only one doing this? Why are the Rockies being the only one that continually turn to inside their department to go up there? Now, what's nice when you read, especially, you know, there's a piece over here from Danielle Allentuck, Rockies promote familiar face to lead newly rebuilt analytics department. And Brian Jones, the team's video coordinator for the past 15 years, was promoted to director a week ago. And while he was an internal hire, Jones is committed to changing the way the Rockies do things. We have some strides to make, Jones said. They considered external candidates for the director role, interviewing about 24, and that's huge. That's the type of stuff that I want to hear more of. And when I see these type of stories, I don't want to just focus on the player there in this instance. I think in this instance, for something like this analytic role, this instance where someone who's been in the organization 15 years gets the promotion yet again, I just want to know why. What about a dozen external candidates don't fit for the Rockies? Is it just philosophy? Is it the Rockies? Is it because out of all of those, I mean, 24 folks, that's 24 people. And I'm assuming that counts who they went for there. None of them had any other ideas that were game-changing enough, that were consistent enough for what Momford and Schmidt want for their club. I don't know. I just don't buy it. That's the thing that holds me up, is just that every time a big position that needs to be filled by serious contenders has opened up for the Rockies lately, it's just a hire from within. We get told we're doing this external. I just don't think it's a bad thing to say that for some Rockies fans that are frustrated, it's not. Some might be. You can't just sit there and say media blah 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 pushing this stuff. I mean, I get that sometimes it is, but being someone that's in the media, you got to play the game sometimes. But I think the story now is developing and turning into, why are the Rockies never able to find someone outside of their organization that they like enough to bring in, to start over, to go there? Is it, I mean, 15 years of dedication is a long time. And that goes hand in hand with the Bill Schmidt hiring. I mean, these are loyal employees, and we know the Rockies love loyalty, but why? Why is that loyalty so much more valuable than a dozen other candidates? And what were the qualifications of those candidates? Now, I'm not going to, a video coordinator of 15 years that's been around the club, that's been diving in, that has ideas, that wants to go and do stuff, great, that all sounds fine, I'm sure. But I've heard that from GMs. I've heard that from other people within the organization. How... It's tough to be excited about internal hires from an organization that has struggled on the front office side, especially. That's the type of stuff that worries me and gets in there. But you have to be able to. There needs to be a line where it's not just you can't talk about the Rockies anymore in a simple way with all these things. You can't, when some Rockies fans and some groups of, can't just shut down these other Rockies fans that are frustrated by this, but the other group just can't completely neglect that these people have been in the, there is something that for the Rockies and the way they work and their structure, that they really enjoy the taking the people from within the organization. But it's not that you can't have conversations about the Rockies. It's just that the frustrations have reached such a high point that are, I don't know. It's just, Jones already has the trust of the clubhouse and the front office and knows the organization inside and out. I don't know, but Zach Rosenthal says, the most important thing for me was that we needed someone who could manage the group. If the team is going to keep growing, we want to keep adding good and smart people. We need someone who can lead them. We need someone who can write code or is a PhD mathematician, because we can hire those people. That's not the way to look at it either. It's not. I mean, that's... To just say, like, we're not looking for someone that really crunches. And no. I don't want a manager. I want someone that knows the analytics and will dive into them. And you know what? Jones, he's Jones, first up on his agenda, according to Alan Tuck, is modernizing the enhancing internal systems. All this stuff is... The analytics department seems to be getting better, but I don't know. An internal hire doesn't make me any more excited. That's where I come from. That's what I boiled down. I just saw a lot of people talking about that on Twitter this weekend, and I don't know. Just wanted to give my 2 cents on that. Folks, that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked on Rockies. Thank you so much for checking out the pod today and tuning in here, whether it's on your streaming services or on YouTube. That's where you can find us. You can find me at PaulHolden33. You can find the show at LO Rockies. And you can find a whole lot more on the Locked on MLB podcast, which you can make your second listen of the day. We also got the Locked on Broncos, Locked on Avalanche, and Locked on Nuggets podcast for you to stay up to date with all things Colorado sports. And folks, until next time, this is Paul Holden saying so long from the Locked on Rockies podcast.